Have you ever been in the presence of somebody who had a very high opinion of themselves? Happens, doesn't it? You know the type. Wouldn't matter what you've done, they've done it 10 times better. Wouldn't matter what the story you told, they'll tell a bigger one. Wouldn't matter how big a fish you caught, they bought one. They got one 10 times bigger. The great boxing champion Muhammad Ali boarded a plane one day to fly across America, and he hadn't a seatbelt buckled. And the flight attendant lady said to him, "Sir, would you mind buckling your seatbelt?" And Muhammad Ali said, "Superman didn't need no seatbelt." And the lady said, "Superman didn't need no airplane either." So people can get above themselves. And we're coming to a story here in Scripture where Jesus, in verse 9, it says, "Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous, and they despised others." So he's speaking, this is who he's speaking to here. He's speaking to the Pharisees, the leaders who thought they were better than everybody else, and not only that, but looked down on other people. They were confident in their own righteousness and in their own works and the things that they done. And then we hear about these two men who went up into the temple to pray, a Pharisee and a tax collector. The Pharisee were among the most highly respected people in religious society. In Judaism, they had a very high standing in society. They were a righteous group, and their main object was to keep every single wee minute detail of the law and hold everybody else to account. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He came to Jesus in John chapter 3. And Jesus told him he needed to be born again. He needed to be changed. The Apostle Paul was a Pharisee. Saul before he became Paul. And then we look at the tax collectors. What were they? The tax collectors were among the most despised people in society. They were employed by the Romans. They were Jews, actually. Most of them were Jews employed by the Romans to extract the most tax possible from the people. And they also, some of them were very corrupt, and they took a bit more and they put it in their pocket. So they weren't that well liked. Everybody avoided the tax collector. A wee bit like avoiding the tax man today, is it? No, it's not. But everybody avoided the tax collectors. Everybody avoided the tax collectors. They would even have went to the far side of the street if they hadn't met a tax collector coming, they would avoid him. So he had a very low standing in society. I want you to build a picture of these two men. One righteous, religious, high standing in society, and the other one nobody would look at. They all hated him. And these two men both came to the temple to pray. One at the top end of the scale in society and one at the bottom. And you know, the work of the Belfast City Mission, God has taught me that we need to be ourselves. Paul McCaw and I, anybody you'll talk to up there, I'll tell you that we don't try to be anybody else. We try to be ourselves because that's who God has made us. Yes, we have things to learn, and we could be maybe better preachers, and we could be better at what we do, and you're learning all the time, and God's shaping you, and he's molding you, and he's doing all these different things, but he has made us, every single individual in this church this morning, God has made you specifically who you are. And we spend nearly our whole lives, some, especially young people. I was talking to a group of young people this weekend down in Portrush, and we're sharing with them that young people spend their whole lives wanting to be somebody else. They want to be some sports star or pop star or TV film star or whoever it is. Even some of their friends, they look at some of their friends and say, "I wish I could be that person." But God has made you, and he has made me exactly the way he wanted to make us. And we're unique individuals, every single one of them. And we're finding that out in Ballyshannon and in Mayo Street and across the city of Belfast as we do outreach. That God is no respecter of persons. God's no respecter. That's what the Bible says. God's no respecter of persons. I'm glad God's no respecter of person. Because if he had been, I wouldn't have been high enough up the scale to get saved. But God's a God of grace this morning. And I'm so glad that God is a God of grace. And we're meeting all sorts of different people in Belfast, dealing with families that are coming through some horrendous times. There's a big hangover from the Troubles and people are carrying around a lot of stuff from those situations. There's brokenness amongst families. There's poverty amongst people. Food banks, we support the North Belfast Food Bank up there in Ballyshillin, and people are coming. People that are not necessarily on benefits, but people who are working, but maybe not earning enough wages to get by, and maybe before the end of the month come, there's not enough money, so they have to go to food banks. And you're dealing with all these different sections of society. I'm going to tell you a couple of stories as we preach through. I want to preach this wee message this morning. I want to preach the Word of God, but as we go through that, I'll be sharing a couple of stories about different things that's happening in Ballyshillin. Ballyshillin's an interesting area. It's an area where some parts of Belfast, where Paul is, there's a big wall, and all the prods are on one side, and all the other people are on the other side, and there's a divide up in Ballyshillin. It's more North Belfast up that area. There's more wee pockets of people. You could be walking from one area into another, and if you don't know where you're going, you could be in a different area very quickly. And all the areas are, as you well know, are stumped out. But listen, Ballyshillin, the people of Ballyshillin are no different to the people of Hochul. They need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the gospel. And we're living in days, folks, where there's a massive attack on against the gospel of Jesus Christ from all different directions, coming against our church from all different directions. You'll have heard it in the radio and TV and read it in the papers over the last few days. But can I encourage you this morning? God is building his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. In the midst of all the chaos and everything that we think is going all pear-shaped, God's in control. Don't lose sight of that. Don't lose sight of that. This Pharisee stood up to pray and was respected for doing so. And can you see him standing up with his chest puffed out? I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like other men. I tithe into the church. I fast twice a week. I do this, I do that, and I give this whole. I'm not like extortioners or unjust or adulterers or even like this tax collector. He pointed out the old tax collector. Not even like him. And the tax collector then, he began to pray. And the Bible says, standing afar off, he wouldn't come up to the front. Standing afar off, the tax collector wouldn't even so much as raise his eyes up to heaven. But he beat his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. There was his prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Think about these two men. One of them was just in his own eyes, and he was given money, and he was doing this, and he was doing that, and he was doing all these different things. Justified in his own eye. And this other man couldn't even lift his head up. He was out of shame of what he was doing. And he said, be merciful to me, a sinner. And folks, that's the center of the gospel. That's the center of the gospel message that we are taking to the doors in Ballyshillin and the Shankill and wherever we're at in Belfast. Be merciful to me, a sinner. We need to get people to realize, first and foremost, that all have sinned. People talk about God being a God. He's not. This is the church and God's. There's not equality. He's not there and all these different things. God's a very equal God. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's everybody. Nobody excluded. That's the message we're taking to Belfast every day. Everybody. You see, the reality is I go to homes in Belfast where they see me coming, and when they hear you're from a church or a mission, they think that you're up there. And they're down there. Now, where they got that impression at, don't ask me. I'm not going to point the finger at anybody or anything else. But that's how people feel. They feel they're not good enough. They feel that they're, you know, there's them church people coming and they feel judged the minute you begin to talk to them. But when I start to talk to them, I just be myself. And I know Paul's exactly the same. And you just be yourself. Because all we are is sinners. Saved by grace. That's all this man is that's speaking to you this morning. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm no big shakes in this world or any other place. I'm just Andy Williamson, a sinner who God poured his mercy and his grace upon and brought me out of a lifestyle that was away, far away from God. So we begin to relate to these people. One family took a funeral just this week. connected to this family, and it's a family who, I took a funeral for a young man who took his own life. Suicide's a massive thing up in there, and Paul has experienced that firsthand. The young man took his own life when he was working in England, 28 years of age, big loyalist connections. It was one of the first funerals I took up there, and there was, I don't know, many people were at the funeral. It was the biggest funeral I was ever at. Flute band played Abide With Me when the cortege was coming out of the house, and you had all this different stuff going on, and here's me in the middle of this trying to bring some sense of hope. See, there's hope in the gospel. There's hope in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even to this Pharisee, there would have been hope if I had been able to say, be merciful to me, I'm a sinner. If I had been able to see that he was a sinner like the tax collector was able to see. And I got to know this family. And I got to know this wasn't the first suicide in this family. This young man had taken his own life. I went to visit the family and I got talking to his mother. And his mother was able to tell me that her husband, this young fellow's father, had taken his own life 15 years ago. Her brother, this young fella's uncle, had taken his own life 7 years ago. And now her son had taken his own life. Sitting face with a woman who had lost her husband, her brother and her son, all to suicide, and who's in pieces. And the only thing, I can't do anything for that any other way, only bring the love of Jesus Christ into that situation. Bring the love of Jesus Christ into that situation. We started to build up a relationship with that family, and one Wednesday morning I was at home and I got a phone call from this lady. She said, Andy, I need to see you immediately. And you just don't know, there's been that much happened in the family, you're just not sure what's happening. She didn't explain anything, so I'm driving up the road to Belfast. I was doing a bit of study at home, driving up the road to Belfast, wondering in my mind and praying, Lord. And I went in through the door and she just burst into tears and she says, Andy, I can't go any further with this burden. I need the Lord to take this burden. I need to get saved. And the great pleasure and joy of seeing that woman to come and to know Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. She come to a place where she realized she was a sinner. She realized, she cried out for mercy to God and he lifted her load. And we're working with her and we're seeing her getting brighter. Not that long after that, that woman got breast cancer. She's just been through an operation. She's been through a lot. But we can see the anchor for her soul now is Jesus Christ, and he's holding her through all those difficult situations. These things are not exclusive to Belfast, folks. I'm not coming to a Hochul here to say that. But Belfast is just a bigger version of a Hochul or Collibatty or any, or Ballymena or any of the towns and villages around here. There's different sets of problems sometimes. We're working with different people. Another wee woman, Maureen makes me laugh. Maureen, we do nursing homes and Foals and different stuff like that. We get and do wee meetings in them once a month. Sometimes people can forget about them people, but actually I rang Brian the other day and he was in a nursing home. So listen, we don't forget about them people because they're there for a reason and all them different things. So this wee lady, Maureen, I preached a wee gospel message one day. She says, I don't believe any of that nonsense. She says, I was confirmed and I was baptized and all these different things. And she says, I've given money and I'm doing part bit like this Pharisee. I've done this and I've done that and I've done all these different things. And I says, Maureen, I'm not here to argue with you. I'm just here to tell you what the Bible says. And I didn't write it. And I said, the Bible says you must be born again. You must come into that relationship with Jesus Christ. 5 or 6 weeks later, somebody from the fold got Maureen eventually in through the hall door, the mission hall door up in Ballyselling. And she heard the gospel over a period of weeks. And one Sunday night, she said to me, going out the door, she says, Andy, I need to talk to you. Come over and see me at the house. So I went over to see her at the house, and she says, you know, over the last number of weeks, I realized that being confirmed and being baptized and all them different things, giving money to charity, is not good enough. I need to be saved. God opened up her heart and God opened up her eyes, just that he opened up the heart of this tax collector to realize that he was a sinner. And that's the first thing we need to realize, folks, that we are a sinner. Then we need to realize that we can do nothing of ourselves about our sin. Not a thing. Ephesians chapter 2 says, we are bound in trespasses and sin, chained in slavery. And then verse 4 says, but God. and his rich mercy, poured out his love upon us, broke the chains, opened our eyes, poured his love into our heart, and saved us for time and eternity. We started a men's group in Ballyshannon about 2 years ago, and we've got about 20-odd men coming to it. Some of them are men who come to the hall. I like a man coming to the hall. When we arrived up there at the start, there was only a handful of men, and I thought, too many women here, this is not a good thing. This is not a good thing. And they're all telling me what to do, and I get told what to do at home, so I don't want to go to the mission hall and get told what to do as well. So I thought, we need to get some men. We're going to evangelize some men here. So we started a men's group and just invited men in. We got a pool table bought and an air hockey table and a couple of bits and pieces. And we just set these up in the hall and the men come in. And we have a games night and a bit of crack, maybe a quiz or something. And then somebody shares a wee epilogue or somebody shares a wee testimony. And we have seen men come in and men come to know the Lord through this. Charlie, one of them men. First funeral I done in Ballyshannon when I was there was a young fellow who was dying with cancer at 42 years of age, and Charlie's his father. And Charlie was a backslider, had been walking with the Lord for a number of years, but he had a few big hits in his life, and with one thing and another, he had gone away from church, away from mission hall. So I went to visit Charlie and found out his son was ill, and built up a bit of a relationship. Charlie started coming to the hall. And not that long after, his son passed away, and I took his funeral. And in the midst of all that, I found out that 20 years earlier, Charlie had another son who had went missing for a couple of days, was living in Carrickfergus, and went missing for a couple of days. And Charlie and this son that I buried went looking for him. And they broke his door down to get into his flat. And they had received a punishment beating from loyalist paramilitaries that had so-called went wrong, and he was lying in a pool of blood dead on the floor. He'd been lying there for 3 days. You know, Charlie was just a broken man. Just a broken man. Just broken. Couldn't understand why God would allow this to happen and all these things. But we got in and we got building a relationship with him. And that's what it's about. It's about building relationships. Paul and me were talking about it the other day. It's about building relationships with people. You need to build a platform with people to allow you that platform to share the gospel in their lives. And sometimes that takes more time than others. But Charlie committed his life back to Christ, and Charlie's one of the wee stalwart. You want to hear this man praying in a prayer meeting. One of the great things about Bilson Road Hall is we've got a great prayer team, a wee team of people. Maybe there could be, if they're all there now, there could be 15 of them come to the prayer meeting. Sometimes it's only 8 or 10, but they've got a heart for prayer. And they just pray from the heart. You know, sometimes God challenged me about praying recently. He says, Andy, are you praying to me or praying to people? You know, sometimes when we pray, we think about what we're saying. Does that sound all right to the rest of the people in the prayer meeting? We're not praying to the rest of the people in the prayer meeting. We're praying to God. And Charlie sits in that prayer meeting. A wee man that has been through so much sits in that prayer meeting and prays for the community and prays for the people who murdered his son. That's a big one, isn't it? That's a big one. And these are things we're coming. We need you to pray for us. We need you to pray for Paul and Lorraine. We need you to pray for the work of the City Missions. I know you're doing. Brian has a heart for the mission because he was saved through the mission and was there for a number of years. Knows the work that's going on. David Bell and I were doing an outreach down on Donegal Road for Kilburn Street Hall. They were holding a mission a while back. Friday morning, Thursday morning about 10:30, knocking doors, speaking to people. And this man came along and started to speak to David. I was away and had done 2 or 3 rows of houses and was back up and they were still speaking and the man left. And David, he shook his head and he said, that's a story and a half. I says, what happened? He said, that man's wife died yesterday. He says, she's in the coffin in the house and he was overcome with grief this morning. And I headed across to Tates Avenue and got up onto the top of the bridge and was going to jump down into the traffic. And I looked down, there's a wee Free Presbyterian Church there at the bottom of Donegal Road, and there's a verse of scripture in the back of it. And it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And he read that verse of scripture. And God spoke to him and he got down. And he started to cry and he started to walk back home. And he walked into David Bell, who gave him a tract with the message of the cross on it. And he just burst into tears. He says, I can't believe this. He says, God's speaking to me here. And that man, pray for him. His name's Austin. Austin, David had a great chat with him, shared the love of God with him. And he got his wife buried on the Saturday, and he went to work on Monday morning and couldn't wait to get home to get to Kilburn Street Hall. There was a prayer meeting on the Monday night. And he came in through the doors, and he'd done what this tax collector done. He said, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. And he gave his life to Jesus Christ. God saved him graciously. Folks, these are the things that were. And if you're not out there, I'm, you know, church, great to see so many out here today. Churches up and down the country. My home church in Churchtown is no different from anywhere else. It used to be you'd needed seats up the aisles to get people in for special services, harvest and all them different things. Not the case anymore. And we were living in this country, I believe, on the back of a few different revivals where people lay and come to church in numbers, sent their kids to Sunday school. Things have changed. Things have changed. And there's a challenge now for us. We're not a church, we're a mission, but we're linked to the church. There's a challenge for the church here, the Belfast City Mission, and all evangelical, Bible-believing churches to get out there and to get in amongst the people. We need to go out. Jesus spent all his time out in the community amongst people. Met the woman at the well because he was out. Met Zacchaeus because he was out there. Met all these different people. Blind Bartimaeus sitting at the side of the road. Jesus spent time in the synagogue. Yes, he did. But he spent most of his time out amongst the people. We need to go and reach people. We need to tell. I often say this. Where are you going to be tomorrow morning? Where are you going to be tomorrow morning? In your workplace, in your school, wherever you're going to be. If you're a believer, you've got something to share. You've got something to tell. You've got something to give. The Bible says, be salt and be light. I don't know about you. I like a wee shake of salt on my fry and my different bits and pieces that I eat. And it changes it, doesn't it? Food's a bit bland with no salt. It's the same with a community out there that needs salt. Bible says you and I are salt. The gospel message, the flavor of Jesus Christ needs to go out into a community that's hurting. And Hochul's no different from Belfast. There's people out there who are hurting and who need the gospel, who need the gospel. Thank God for the gospel of grace. You see, this Pharisee, getting back to our scripture here, was dependent on his works. He was dependent on his good name. He was dependent on his standing in society. He was dependent on all those things. Folks, can I say something to you this morning? You remember the wee kids talk? You see, if you haven't Christ upon your life, if it's not Jesus Christ, you can go. It says we'll all have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. And when we stand before there, I don't want to be standing there saying, I done this, I done that. I done this and I done that. Even everything that we're doing for the City Mission, that's the work of God. That's not to set me and Paul McCall on some pedestal or anybody else in City Mission. That's the work of God. So I wouldn't want to be lining up all my different bits and pieces without Christ, because God's going to look at us and he's going to point to Jesus and he's going to say, there's my son. He went to a cross for you. What have you done with him? What have you done with him? I sent him to the most cruel death to pay for your sin. And you're coming to me with a list of things that you've done. You know what the Bible teaches? The Bible says in Isaiah 64, it says, all our righteousness. You know what it's like? A bunch of filthy rags. That's what the Bible says. You know a few old cloths you would keep for after you're working at the engine of the car or you're cleaning in the garage you're doing, you keep an old bunch of dirty rags. They're not for much else. That's what the Bible says. All righteousness is like. It's like a bunch of filthy rags. Without Christ, without the washing of the blood of Jesus Christ in our life to take away our sins. Why would Christ need to go to a cross if he thought, you're all right, wee Maureen? I went over to see her. 92 years of age. Her baptism and her confirmation or none of that there meant anything. Without Christ, without having an encounter with the living Christ. The woman at the well that we talked about had an encounter with Jesus Christ. She was married 5 times. The man that she was living with at that particular time wasn't her husband. A loose woman, they call them in modern day society. Jesus didn't condemn her. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The next verse is vitally important. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him, through Jesus, the world might be saved. Do you know him this morning, folks? I can't help saying this because that's who I am. Telling you a wee bit about the city mission this morning, but it's important that I ask you the question this morning. Do you know? Have you got Christ in your life? If you fell into that river bam without that life jacket and you couldn't, if you could swim as well as me, you'd be drowned. Because I'm not that great a swimmer. But I can stick that life jacket on again with confidence into that boat and look at the size of me and fall out. I'll fall out often. But when I get in, I come up again. Why? Because I got a life jacket. It's the same. I go out there every day out into society. I put my head on the pillow at night. But I never waken up. Remember the wee prayer we used to pray? Here they lay me down to sleep, not knowing whether I die or wake. But if I die before I wake, I trust the Lord, my soul, to take. If your head hits the pillow tonight and it's your last breath, where are you going to wake up, folks? That's the question this morning. That's the gospel this morning. That's where this Pharisee got it wrong. And the tax collector got it right. Think about Jesus' response here. Think about his response. Verse 14, I tell you, this man, the tax collector, the one that couldn't lift his head, the one that just said one line, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, Jesus said, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Man's ways are not our ways. If we were justifying them to men, we would say the Pharisee every time because he's giving money, he's tithing, he's fasting, he's a great man. This other man, waster, forget about him. No. The Bible says the last will be first and the first will be last. That's the economy of God and his word. That's his teaching. And it goes on to say there, for everyone who exalts himself, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. But he who humbles himself and comes kneeling to the cross, we all need to come to the cross, folks. We all need to come to the cross. A couple that I've got to know really well over the last couple of years, Colin and Joyce. Colin came into Bilson Road City Mission Hall on a Sunday night, coming from Ligonail Pigeon Club with a drink or two, and him sat down in the chair at the back of the hall, waved at me, and I waved at him, and he would have waited until the first or second song was being sang, and then he would have come in during that, because he didn't want to have much interaction with people. Sat down at the back of the hall. I preached the message. We were singing, in the middle of singing the last hymn, he waved at me and I waved at him again, and away he went. This happened for months. And he was coming to the hall before I arrived at the hall and doing the same thing. I got speaking to Colin and told me a very harrowing story about different things he was dealing with from the past and a lot of different stuff. But anyway, to cut a long story short, last year, Colin took cancer at the beginning of the year. I got a phone call to go and visit him in hospital. Went down to the hospital, shared the gospel with him, prayed with him, and he went through a big operation. The operation was successful. He came out of hospital. I went down to his home, called at his home a few times, and we shared the gospel with him. Mary says, me and the wife's going to come up to the hall, Andy. I says, that's okay. That's great, Colin. And you hear that a lot. People tell you you're going to come to church and sit in. When they get you out of the way, they don't. But sure enough, about a week or maybe 2 weeks later, Colin and the wife arrived up. Colin used to sit in the back seat of the hall. When he came in from the Pigeon Club, him and the wife come the whole way to the front, right into the front seat, sat down, preached the gospel. We had a mission coming up, wee man John Weir, a wee evangelist that the City Mission have been using a wee bit up there in missions. Great wee, just a wee fiery evangelist. Throwback to the old time evangelist. But John come and preached at the mission, and on the Wednesday night, Colin and Josh were so under conviction of God. God had showed them they were sinners, he showed them they needed to be saved, and the two of them disappeared out the door and went to McDonald's. As you do. And they were sitting, drinking a coffee, and they were looking at each other, and they both said the same thing at the same time. We need to get back to Bilson Road and get right with God. And they get into the car, and they drove straight back to the hall. And God gloriously saved them. The Lord Jesus Christ gloriously saved them. I went down the next morning to visit them. And I'm sure you've heard from Paul. I don't know what it's like around a hawk decorating houses. I know decorate houses for Christmas and stuff. You see Halloween up there. Houses are decorated just the same way for Halloween as they are for Christmas. I went down the next morning and looked at the front of the house. There's three full-size skeletons hanging from the front of the house. Full-size skeletons, I kid you not. And cobwebs and a gravestone, a proper gravestone in the front garden. They have a kind of a competition to see who can do the houses up best for Halloween. Scared the what's out of me, even a big countryman. Imagine a big countryman going into something like that. So I didn't know how to approach it. See, people don't see the dark side of Halloween. There's a dark side to it that people don't see. So I thought, right, okay, I'll make a wee joke here. I asked Joyce, come out. I says, Joyce, I was nearly scared to come up in your garden, Pa. Oh, she says, Andy, is all this stuff wrong now that we're Christians? And I went into the house and I sat her down. I says, Joyce, last night in the mission hall, Jesus Christ gave you life. And everything in the front of your house speaks to me, including that gravestone of death. Now you've been brought from death to life. And I left it with her, prayed with her and left it with her. Next day I went down by the house, everything's gone. Headstone's gone, skeleton's gone, everything's cleaned up. The whole thing's gone. You see, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ Jesus or woman, they're a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I would love, we don't hear much about this tax collector, but I'll tell you this, his life was transformed because he cried out for mercy to God. He cried out for mercy to God. Jesus has become a once and for all sacrifice, the Bible said, for you and for me. Jesus has become the once and for all sacrifice for the people of Ballyshannon and Mayo Street and Glencairn and wherever we're working at. I could stand here and tell you story after story of things that are happening up there. Some of the things just to finish off with. There's a wee Mums and Tots group started. There wasn't one in Ballyshannon, Paul and them have one up and running and Mayo Street. So we started one in Ballyshannon and it's a great way. There's different, there's people that you reach through different things. You know, the gospel message, this gospel message cannot, will not ever change, whether people like it or don't like it, whether people last week in the media like the word of God or don't like it, it won't be changing. It won't be changing anytime soon or ever. It can't change because God says he has exalted his word above even his name. That's what it says. That's what the word of God says. But we have to find ways of reaching people. Mums and Tots is a great wee way of getting to know. You know, we went on a wee trip there a few weeks ago. Iris took them out on a trip and there was 16 or 17 babies and grannies and mums. And these are people sometimes that don't come to mission halls or churches or anything. But you're getting alongside them and you're sharing them and there's wee breakthroughs in their lives. And it's great just to see them. We've done Derek Livingstone from the village here was up last week from Ambassadors Football and done a football camp. And we had 49 kids there last week who heard the gospel over four nights. And it was tremendous. Tremendous just to see. And on the last night down at the side of the pitch in Ballyshannon playing field, we invited all the parents and we served hot dogs. And the parents and the kids all got hot dogs. And Derek summed up the gospel message in front of the kids and the parents. And there was over 100 people there. And he just shared the gospel. What an opportunity. So we partner with other organizations and get them in alongside us. To share the gospel. The work goes on in Ballyshannon folk. But to sum up our wee message today, that's the message we're taking to people. You don't have to be anything. See, some people think, Colin said to me after he got saved, he says, Andy, what do I need to wear to come to church? I says, wear what you have on you. And he had a t-shirt and a pair of jogging bottoms and a pair of training shoes on him. Now, you might not think that's the way to come to church or mission hall, but God tells me in the Bible, and I was sharing it with young people last night, when Samuel went to anoint David as king, they marched all the big and bold brothers past the front of him, and God says, no, not that one. And God said in verse 7, 1 Samuel 16 and 7, he says this, don't look on the outward appearance. I'm looking for the heart. God's not looking for the outward appearance, folks. Looking for the heart. I says, Colin, you come whatever way you want. So he made a big effort the next week. He went and bought him this lovely shirt and jumper and trousers and all, but he felt like a fish out of water. And he only wore it a couple of weeks and he was back into the jogging bottoms. It doesn't bother me in the slightest, folks. And you know what I'm going to tell you? I don't think it bothers God. The man can't afford a suit. Why should I tell him he has to wear a shirt and tie or a suit? He can't afford it. So he's coming along and he's getting the gospel shared. And about 8 weeks ago, a young son, Ryan, 15 years of age, began to come every week to the mission hall with his mum and his dad. And he started asking them questions. And he said, now, you're now going to heaven. And because I'm not saved, I'm going to hell. And he heard the gospel. And Colin pulled me one night after the meeting in the hall. He says, Ryan wants to speak to you. And myself and another man from the hall had the great pleasure of pointing that young fella to Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. That's about 8 weeks ago. And he was down. I was speaking at Shankill Baptist Youth Weekend this weekend, Pa. And I got Ryan to go to it because he just needs a bit of feeding and he needs a bit of... And he went to Port Rush last night onto the beach and jumped into the sea and lost his glasses. So we're going to have to explain that to his mum and dad on Monday. But anyway, Ryan is saved. God is opening doors. He's saving lives. And what is it? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And like that Philippian jailer that I told the kids about, what must I do to be saved? And the Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and all your household shall be saved. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you this morning for your gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And I pray, Lord, this morning that you would speak to hearts and lives in this house this morning, in this village, in the surrounding areas. And I pray, Lord, that you would bring us to you every day on our knees, humbling ourselves, seeking your faith, crying out, have mercy on me, a sinner. Help us, Lord. We need you. We can't do it without you. Holy Spirit, we need you to come and we need you to move and work and pour out your love. Pray for Paul as he comes tonight to share your word. Pray for Brian as he heads up to Mayo Street. Lord, protect him as he travels. Father, pour out your Spirit upon us this morning as we leave this place. Speak on as only you can. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.